We're going to dive right in this morning. So take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13. I want to encourage each of you to turn there. In John chapter 13, we see Jesus in the upper room with his disciples. John's the fourth book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, just past the halfway point in your Bibles. I hope you've come this morning with a sense of anticipation. I trust that you did not come simply for religious exercise or intellectual or academic exercise, but that you have come this morning to meet with the true and the living God, that you have come anticipating that God, through His Holy Spirit and through His written word, would speak into each of your lives. God knows the circumstances of each of our lives. He knows the thoughts and the struggles in our hearts and minds. And He desires to speak into our lives this morning through His Holy Spirit and His written word. Follow along as we read John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, "Lord, are You going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, and you have no part with Me, you have no part with Me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For He knew who was going to betray Him, and that was why He said not everyone was clean. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call Me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." To help bring this text alive, to help us to enter into some of the emotional dynamics, first service, I asked for a volunteer. Needless to say, I didn't get a volunteer, and Ron Weil was sitting over there with his head down. And since I know Ron fairly well and have a good relationship with Ron, I called Ron to the platform and had the opportunity to wash his feet. And you need to thank Ron, because I was going to choose someone else from second service to bring to the platform to wash their feet. But Ron came up to me after the first service and said, "Jeff, I'm going to wash your feet second service." And I was like, "That's not fair." And he just smiled. So Ron, where are you at? Ron's going to come in. And for those of you, how many of you have ever been to a foot washing experience, the foot washing ceremony? Wow, quite a few of you. Community Bible Church is about 50-some odd years old, and in my very early years, I can just have a brief remembrance of foot washing services that were connected with communion. But for most of us, it's not part of our church experience, but I guess it's going to be this morning for me. I told Ron, I said, "I bet you didn't expect to be doing this morning." And
I said no.
He said no, and I'll say to you, Ron, I didn't be wasn't expecting to do this morning either. Maybe you could preach for me as well, second service, since we're switching shoes. Or okay. Yes. Thank you, Ron. I'll let you know now that we have chairs and basins and towels in the chapel. And at the end of the service, those of you who are interested can experience foot washing if there's someone here that you would like to bless in that way. This passage in John 13, is it primarily about foot washing? No, it's something about much bigger and larger than foot washing. Think about it. If it was really about the washing of one another's feet, here at CBC we wouldn't be doing a very good job. But I want you to understand that this story relates to each one of our lives every single day. And to fully appreciate this story, I want to just remind you again who Jesus is, the individual who washed the disciples' feet. He is God in the flesh, the Son of God. He is the Creator who has come down and has spent 33 years on this earth. And now He is, as the Creator, washing the feet of the created. You think back to the cultural dynamics of that time. People walked everywhere on dusty, dirty roads that were probably full of cattle and horses and donkeys. And so you can just imagine some of the odors and things that were part of washing someone's feet. In fact, if you were wealthy enough to have a servant or a slave, it was always the servant's and the slave's job to wash individuals' feet as they came into the home. But I want you to see that this story is not a story about washing the feet, but it's a story about humility and servanthood. The call and challenge for us this morning is not necessarily literally to wash each other's feet, but is to walk in the humility of Jesus. Genuine humility reflected in service to one another is beautiful and powerful all at the same time. Jesus is calling us to walk in His footsteps, to walk in humility. This morning we want to take a close look at these verses and to understand how you and I can walk in such a way as to reflect the humility and servanthood of Jesus. Look with me at verse 1. It says, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. This is the evening before Christ's crucifixion. He is going to be captured and crucified within the next 24 hours. As the Son of God, He knew what was going to happen. And yet it says, having loved His own who were in the world, referring to His followers, specifically His disciples, John says He now showed them the full extent of His love. Jesus loved His disciples, and despite their issues and shortcomings and impending betrayal, He is going to show them the full extent of His love. Think about the timing of this. Think about verse 2. It says, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Judas had already determined, in his heart that he was going to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that. Jesus also knew that Peter was going to deny him. He also knew the disciples as a whole were going to desert him when he needed them the most to pray for him and to be with him. But at the very same time, despite their issues, despite their shortcomings, what does Jesus do? He washes their feet. Because he loved them, right? To show them the full extent of his love. If Jesus were here this morning, he would wash your feet. Despite the sins of this past week, despite your ongoing struggles and issues, despite your past, Jesus would wash your feet. Why? Because who Jesus is an individual of love and of grace. Grace is he loves us despite us. He loves us even though we don't deserve it. He blesses us in ways that we don't deserve. That's what he was doing with these disciples. By washing their feet, he was expressing the love that he had in his heart towards them, and he was extending his grace to them. So if you and I are going to walk in the humility and servanthood of Jesus, realize that love and grace must be in our hearts. Look with me at Luke chapter 6, 43 through 45. Jesus said, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Catch this, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in where? In his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up where? In his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." As we think about walking in the humility of Jesus, we must understand it has more to do with what's in our hearts than what we do. Is it not possible for someone to do an act of servanthood but not have love and grace in their hearts? And what is God most concerned about? He's most concerned about our hearts. Jesus was reflecting through the washing of the disciples' feet the love and the grace that was in his heart. For Jesus, as the Son of God and King of Kings, to wash the disciples' feet is amazing in and of itself. But to do it, knowing that they were going to betray, desert, and deny him, is even more amazing. Who is God calling you to serve this morning? Hopefully you can identify someone or individuals in your mind this morning. Who is God calling you to serve? Maybe it's somebody at school. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody who pokes some fun at you. Maybe it's the neighbor who's hard to love. Maybe it's a family member who's really annoying. Just take a moment and say, God, who is it? Is there somebody that you are calling me to reflect the humility and servanthood of Jesus to? And as you think of that individual, and the Lord brought an individual to my mind yesterday evening, it was clear who God is calling me. Thank you, Matt. Reflecting the humility and servanthood of Jesus. Thank you. Much better. So as you think of the person who God is calling you to reflect the humility and servanthood of Jesus to, what is in your heart towards that person? That's what's most critical, because out of the heart we speak, out of the heart we live, out of the heart we relate to one another. And if we're going to walk in the humility of Jesus, if we're going to serve and wash each other's feet, figuratively speaking, we need to look at what's in our hearts. Because many times, The individuals that God calls us to serve and to reflect his humility to are to those who are hard to love. What did Jesus say is our calling? Our calling is to love those who hate us, who are our enemies. It's easy to love people who love us and respect us. But Christ calls us to love, to serve those who are hard to love. And so as you think about what's in your heart towards those that God might be prompting you to serve, is there bitterness? Is there jealousy? Is there anger? Is there hatred? Admit that. Acknowledge it. Ask God to change your heart. Thank him for the forgiveness that's at the cross. But if you and I are going to walk in the humility of Jesus, if we're going to wash each other's feet, if that's what's going to describe our relationships with one another, if that's what's going to describe our relationships in our home, we need Christ to be at work in our hearts, to extend his love and his grace. Look with me at verse 3. We're going to connect verse 3 and verse 4. It says that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Verse 4. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. Those two verses capture what's going on in John chapter 13. Jesus, who understood that the Father had put all things under his power, understanding that he had come from God and was returning to God. That's who Jesus is. And now what's he do in verse 4? He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. The second key to walking in the humility and servanthood of Jesus is to understand our worth and our identity needs to come from who we are, not what we do. Jesus was able to take up the position of a slave and wash the disciples' feet because he understood who he was. Verse 3, that he had come from God, that he was going to God. He was secure in who he was, and he understood that what he did or did not define him as an individual. Because Jesus was secure in who he was as the Son of God, there was no hesitation about washing the disciples' feet. Now, some of you are thinking, well, maybe it's easy to be secure in who you are when you're the Son of God. But the same truth and principle applies to each one of us this morning. If you begin to understand that your identity, your worth, your value is connected in the fact that you are created by God with purpose and significance, that you're created in the image of God, that you are loved to the extent that Jesus was willing to die for your sins. When you begin to understand your worth and identity in Christ, what does that do? That frees you up to serve those around you. It frees you up to do any kind of menial, degrading task. It frees you up to serve those who you have been mistreated by because your worth and your value and your identity is not connected to what you do. What about the disciples? Where did they look for their worth and their value? Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 37. Jesus sure picked a motley crew, and he had spent 3 years of his life investing in them, and it's culminating in John chapter 10 as he washes their feet. But I want you to have a little snapshot of what is going on in the disciples' hearts. Mark chapter 10, verses 35. Says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. See how they are focused on self? We want you to do for us, whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. In other words, Jesus, we know you're going to be the coming king and you're going to set up your kingdom on earth. And when you do, we want to be seated at your right and left because that will make us significant, important. That will give value and worth to our lives. Look at verse 41. I won't walk you through the response of Jesus. But in verse 41, it says, when the other ten disciples heard about the request of James and John, they became indignant with James and John. Why did they become indignant with James and John? Why did that make them so angry? Because it's what was in their hearts as well. It's what they wanted as well. And so we have the disciples who are falsely thinking that, oh, we will be important if we can be at the right and left hand of Jesus. And then we have Jesus who understood who he was, where he was from, and where he was going, who was free to serve those around him. Have you ever noticed that those who walk in humility, those who sacrificially serve others, are those individuals who are secure in who they are in Christ? As I said earlier, they're able to do that because their worth and value comes from Christ. They don't need to jockey for position. They don't need to defend themselves. They don't need to justify themselves. They don't need to speak highly of themselves because they understand that their worth and significance comes in being created by God, for God, and the value that Christ has paid for them. Instead, they are free and comfortable to serve and to do menial tasks because they know those tasks don't define them and their worth. I am convinced this morning that for us to walk in the humility of Christ, we must fully embrace that our value and our significance is not connected to what we do, but flows from embracing that we are loved and accepted by the God of the universe. How many of us struggle with this? How many of us struggle with letting what we do define us and determine our worth? Probably most of us, if we're honest, would raise our hands. Some of us base our significance or our worth on how our careers are going. If our careers are going really well, we can feel really good about ourselves. We can feel significant. We can feel important. If our careers are going downhill, oh man, now I can't feel good about myself. Some of us find significance through our material possessions, what we have or what we don't have. If we have certain material possessions, we can say, oh yeah, I've arrived in life. I mean, not arrived in life, but I can feel good about myself. Some of us, our significance comes based on how our kids are turning out. If our children are making good and wise choices, we can be like, oh yeah. Some of us, our significance might come from how much we serve at the church. Oh, I'm really serving at the church a lot. I'm making a lot of sacrifices and commitment. But if we're going to serve in humility like Christ does, we need to understand that our worth needs to come from who we are in Christ. Look at what Willem Barclay says. It's the quote in your handout. He says, when we are tempted to think of our dignity, our prestige, or our rights, let us see again the picture of the Son of God wrapped around with a towel, kneeling at his disciples' feet. One of the greatest blessings of being the senior pastor here at CBC is the staff that I serve with. One of the things that I'm so grateful for as I think about each of the staff is we have a group of individuals that their significance and worth isn't connected to them being a pastor, isn't connected to them being a leader. Have you ever been around leaders or pastors and their worth and significance comes because they're a pastor? It leads to a lot of conflict. Because when you might need to make some hard choices related to a ministry, and if that person's worth and value is connected with that, they guard it, they protect it. But when you have pastors and leaders who their worth and significance is not connected to what they're doing, allows for unity, allows for respect. It allows for God's Spirit to do His work. I'll brag about Pastor Todd a little bit this morning. 2 years ago, I had to think about it, in May, I was in the process, I was presented as a candidate to be the senior pastor here at CBC. Many of you were here during that time. For those of you who weren't, I was the adult ministry pastor and was presented to the congregation by the elders to be the senior pastor. And so I called Todd up. I had known Todd since Lancaster Bible College. He was a pastor for 10 years out at McKeesport in western Pennsylvania. And for the past 2 years, he had been working in construction. And so I said, Todd, hey, if I become the senior pastor, we're going to need somebody as soon as possible to come in and begin to give oversight to men's ministry, women's ministry, our adult Bible fellowships and small groups. Is this something that you might be interested in? And he began to pray about that and talk about it with Gene. And I remember when he called me back, he said, Jeff, he said, if this is something that the elders would be interested in having me to come and to serve on an interim basis, I will do whatever you need me to do at the church. He says, if you need me to do janitorial work, that's what I'll do. Whatever you need me to do, I'm willing to do. And he was serious. That was his heart. Why was Todd able to say that? Because his worth, his value and significance is not caught up in being a pastor. And because his worth, his value and significance isn't in being a pastor, that frees him up to serve people. That frees himself to place himself under those he serves. How do we walk in the humility and the servanthood of Jesus? We understand our worth and value in Christ, and we serve from that place. Look with me in verses 4 through 13. I'm not going to take the time to read them, but I'm going to look at the bookends. Verse 4, Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And verse 14, when he had finished washing their feet, verses 4 through 13, illustrate Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And in there you see some dialogue between Jesus and Peter. And I won't get into some of that imagery there. But what I want you to see is that the third key for walking in the humility and servanthood of Jesus is to look for and to take advantage of opportunities to serve those around you. Jesus knew his actions would speak louder than his words. And for the past 3 years, Jesus was trying to help these disciples to understand that if they want to be great, if they want to be first, they need to be last. They need to be a servant. And so he takes advantage of this opportunity to serve his disciples. Look with me on the screens at Matthew chapter 20, 25 through 28. This is what Jesus has been communicating to the disciples for the past 3 years. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." In other words, he says, you understand how the rulers of this world function. They use their power and authority to lord it over people. They exercise authority over people. Not so with you. In other words, in my kingdom, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. In other words, you don't place yourself over people, you place yourself under people. If you want to be great, you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did, not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is showing the contrast between how the world thinks and the world functions. He says the world is all about being in power, having authority, so you can be over people. Jesus says, but in my kingdom, it's about placing yourself under others from a place of humility, serving them. You and I have opportunities every single day to place ourselves under others and to humbly serve those around us. Pray that God would help you to see the opportunities that He gives you. Look for opportunities. It goes against everything within us. Right? The nature, our just fleshly, sinful nature, we want to be on top. We want others to serve us. But Jesus demonstrated. He took advantage of the opportunities that were presented to him to place himself under, to serve, to be last. So if we're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to walk in his humility and servanthood, realize that love and grace must be in our hearts. For we live and we relate to one another out of what's in our hearts. Be in tune with what's in your hearts. Understand our worth and our identity needs to come from who we are, not what we do. And look for and take advantage of opportunities to serve. Now look with me at the conclusion in verses 12 through 16. I'm going to take the time to read this again. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Look with me at verse 16. He says, I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Jesus is helping these disciples to understand that this is what you need to do. You need to humbly serve those around you. And he says, no servant is greater than his master. So he's saying, as your master, if I was willing to wash your feet, if I was willing to place myself under you, don't you think that you need to be above others? Follow in my example and place yourself underneath those around you. Catch what he says in verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You want to be blessed? You want your life to be full? Give your life to serving, humbly placing yourself underneath those around you. There is joy, there is fullness, there is a richness in life that comes from walking in the humility and the servanthood of Jesus. Obviously, I had been familiar with this passage since as long as I can remember. But it was a joy for me to really reflect on this passage. And as I began to understand what Jesus was communicating here in verses 12 through 16, in the context of where this is in his life. Remember, this is the night before Jesus is captured and crucified. This is his last moment with his disciples. This is his last chance to impart to them what he needs them to understand the most. Keep in mind, this motley crew he has chosen to entrust with his work on earth. He is trusting the advancement of his kingdom and the building and establishment of the church to these individuals. Do you see how crucial and critical this moment is? Jesus then just washes disciples' feet just to be nice to them or express his love towards them. He was clearly looking at the big picture, and he was saying to the men who were his followers, these disciples, follow my example. He was giving them a visual picture and experience that would go with them the rest of their lives. He was passing the baton to the disciples. It was the equivalent of a dying father passing the baton to his son. When I grabbed hold of that, I was like, oh my goodness, this is powerful. Jesus was telling his disciples, this is how you're to live. Here's the baton. I'm going back to the Father. You're going to be here on earth. You want to know how to walk? You want to know how to live? You want to know how to relate? Place yourself under people. Humbly serve them. Here's the baton. The disciples have passed on the baton to the next generation and to the next generation. Now it's our turn to take up the baton. We are next in line as His disciples to advance His kingdom, to be used as His instruments to humbly serve those around us. Are you going to take the baton? It's not real complicated. It's not easy. In fact, it's very hard. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't do it. But this is the baton that He's offering to us this morning. How many of you have heard the Michael Card song, "The Basin and the Towel"? We're going to play it in just a moment. It's a powerful song, "The Basin and the Towel." You and I, every day, are given opportunities to take up our basin and towel and to humbly serve those around us, whether they like us or not, whether they deserve it or not, whether it ever changes how they treat us, we're called to take up the basin and towel. That's what Jesus was communicating here. As we play the song, I want you to think about some of the questions I have on the back. Begin with the first one that's not in your notes. Who is God calling you to humbly serve? Like I said, it's very clear in my mind who God is calling me to humbly serve. I'm not sure of all the dynamics of what that's going to look like. But some important questions to reflect on. What gets in the way of me reflecting the humility and servanthood of Christ? Is there someone God is calling me to wash their feet figuratively? What would that look like? And three, maybe most importantly, what does Christ-like humility and servanthood look like in the context of my home and my family? Give a challenge to the men here. You want to know who God's calling you to place yourself under? To take up the basin and the towel every single day? It's your wife. It's your spouse. It's your children. It's the calling that He has on our lives as husbands and fathers. When you and I begin to realize the power, the beauty, the strength that comes from humbly placing ourselves under individuals and serving them from that place, it changes and transforms relationships. It'll change and transform marriages. It'll transform homes. The basin and the towel. I don't know the circumstances of your life. I don't know all that you're struggling and dealing with. But I can assure you that you are to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. That you are to day by day take up the basin and towel, placing yourself under those around you, serving them from that place. Let's stand. As I mentioned earlier, at the close of this service, if you are interested in washing someone else's feet this morning, mention something to them, and you can meet me right off the side of the platform, and we'll go back the back hallway over to the chapel. But most importantly, this passage, as I said, is not about washing someone's feet, even though that can be a meaningful and significant expression of what's in your heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Son Jesus and for His example. We're thankful for the life that we have in Him because of His humility and the willingness to lay down His life for us this morning. Lord, we pray that You would help us to moment by moment, day by day, crucify the fleshly sinful nature that wants to rise up within us, to be on top and to have others serve us and to make a name for ourselves, Lord. May you help us to crucify those fleshly desires so that your Holy Spirit might empower us, might reign in our hearts, might overflow into our lives and our relationships so that we could extend your humility and your servanthood to those in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools. Lord, we're thankful that the Holy Spirit can do what is humanly impossible for us. Lord, we pray that you would fill up our cups with your love and your grace, and that we would be able to extend your love and grace to each person we come in contact with this. Come in contact this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple announcements. The chairs stay up. And if you are new to Community Bible Church, I would love to have the opportunity to greet you in the hospitality room. It's past the Welcome Center, down the hall to your left. We have a gift bag and refreshments back there for you. Lord bless you.